Did you hear that he lost his job? I don't know how they're...
And I heard that they had a huge fight the other day, and that she threatened to kick him out. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that.
I've noticed Sarah hasn't been volunteering lately. Do you think something's
wrong? Someone told me that George was seen at a bar downtown last week.
I can't believe they let their kids do that.
Did you see what Lisa was wearing last Sunday?
I think the choir director might be stepping down soon.
I noticed the new family always sits in the back. Do you think they are trying to avoid me?
Because they have trouble with their kids.
I overheard the elder said he isn't getting enough funding because of some disagreement.
People are talking about
and
how
that they had a group always goes
people are changing and that she's
my favorite volunteers.
Man, you came back for week number three. That's awesome. Well, I don't know if you heard about a pastor. He was visiting one of the elderly women in his church. And when he sat down on her couch, he noticed this large bowl of peanuts that was on the coffee table. And he asked her, he said, "Hey, would you mind if I had a few of the peanuts?" And she replied, "Not at all. I have as many as you would like." And so they visited for about an hour, and when the pastor got up to leave, he realized that he hadn't just eaten a few of the peanuts. He'd actually emptied the entire bowl. And so he said to her, "I'm so sorry for eating all your peanuts. I just meant to eat a few." And the woman looked back at him and said, "Oh, don't worry. That's no problem. That's all right." She said, "You know, since I lost my teeth, all I can do is lick the chocolate off of them." Wow, would that not leave a bad taste in your mouth? You know, suddenly those peanuts weren't so appetizing. But his newfound distaste was really not in the peanuts themselves, but was in his perception of them. It's interesting to me, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." And what I've become convinced of is that the only way to diminish gossip in our lives is to develop a distaste for it. Because isn't it true that we've all enjoyed in some way getting the latest juicy, even satisfying news about someone else's life? And so my desire in this series is to help change really our perception of gossip, because the challenge with gossip is that it is so easy to find satisfaction in it. And if you're ever going to deflate or diminish gossip in your life, you will need to recognize and acknowledge that you actually have an unhealthy appetite for it. Well, welcome to Academy Christian Church today. We're excited to see all of you in the house. Want to welcome those that are joining us online. We've got a great bunch there, as well as our sister congregation over on the Westside campus. And this is, as you heard, the final message in our three-week series called Playing in the Dirt. With dirt being the lowdown on other people's lives. In other words, gossip. And imagine taking 3 weeks to discuss the topic of gossip. But really, the reason for taking so much time is because of the power that our words have to influence and to impact not only people's thoughts, but their feelings and even their beliefs. And if avoiding gossip was easier, there's a lot of people that would do it. But isn't it true, as one person said, although the tongue weighs very little, very few people are actually able to hold it. And you know, as I've studied this topic, I've been reminded again how much instruction that God gives us in His Word concerning how important the words are that we speak. And it's pretty clear, we've mentioned this every week, that the Bible says we need to have an appropriate filter for the words that we speak. And there's probably no clearer place in Scripture where you find that than in James chapter 1, verse 26. Notice what it says. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Wow. Wow. Well, you know, I just want to say, if you're here today and you're not yet a Christ follower, obviously these instructions don't necessarily apply to you yet. But I'd sure encourage you to listen, because following these instructions can literally improve the quality of your life, as we will see. So I want you to imagine this morning the following conversation taking place if there just happened to be such an organization as Gossipers Anonymous. And it would go something like this. Hi, I'm Bob, and I like to gossip. Hi, Bob. Well, not only do I like to gossip, I like to listen to it as well. And then heads nod in agreement and understanding. In fact, not only do I like to speak gossip and listen to it, but I approve of it and I encourage others to do the same. Yes, I am a gossip. And a loud round of acknowledging applause. Well, if there were in fact an organization such as Gossipers Anonymous, isn't it true that probably many of us could be active participants, including myself? And that's why we've got to recognize, folks, the content of your conversation is really crucial. And the reason we know that is because, again, in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, the Bible says, "The words of the reckless, they pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And so how we speak can accomplish a couple of different purposes. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that speaking about important issues, situations, or incidences with people who are either part of the problem, they're involved in the situation, or they're part of the solution, they could help solve it, or someone who can provide wise, godly counsel, that's not gossip. See, it's important and even vital for us to have crucial conversations with the people that are either part of the problem, part of the solution, or who can provide godly counsel. But people who don't have anything to do with it are really innocent bystanders who don't need to be brought into it. I think it's one of the reasons why in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where there's that list of a time to do or not do a lot of different things, this shows up in that list. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. And of course, we know the time to be silent would refer to any time that the content of our conversation contains any gossip. That would be a time not to speak. Now, a friend of mine recently shared a couple of helpful definitions that I hadn't heard before and were very insightful to me. And they said it this way. Gossip is saying something about someone behind their back that we wouldn't say to their face. Well, what about flattery? I love this one. Flattery is saying something about someone to their face that we wouldn't say behind their back. But this has been our working definition of gossip through this series. Gossip is sharing inappropriate information about someone who isn't present with another person that could lead to a moral judgment and usually contains a certain entertainment value. And that's because if you've noticed, if you're gossiping, you don't have to work at it at all. It's not hard to do. And in fact, sometimes you're going to enjoy it. And gossip, I've noticed, often includes some truth, but then we mix it in with some of our own personal interpretation and judgment. Sometimes, folks, instead of just simply stating the facts, we make it even gossip more so because we feel inclined to give our opinion or to offer some commentary about the situation, such as, "Well, I don't think that was very smart," or "I would have never done that," or "Wow, they sure messed up." And if you haven't noticed, gossip tends to be kind of clandestine. Hidden, secret, stealthy, even sly. You know, the Bible often refers to a gossip as a whisperer, which highlights kind of the secretive nature of gossip, which means that whenever you kind of find yourself suddenly lowering your voice or looking to see who's around or might be listening, or maybe stepping closer to your friend before speaking, it's a good sign that you might be about to engage in some gossip. Now, you know, there's a difference between news and gossip. News is information that is actually everybody's business. Gossip is personal information that really is nobody's business. And so the main difference between news and gossip is that news is intended to inform and educate, while gossip is often about sharing personal details about someone's life in a salacious way. I mean, news contains information that impacts the general population, while gossip is an unjustified invasion of someone else's privacy. For example, if your house burned down, that could actually be news, something that would clearly be evident to all. But you know what's going on inside of your house, unless it's illegal, that's personal. Well, back in the day, and it's hard to remember that, I can think back to it, but back in the day when hymns happened to be the main course in every worship service, there was this pastor and a song leader that weren't getting along very well, and it started to spill over into the worship services. And so one Sunday morning, the pastor spoke about being open to change. And afterwards, the song leader got up and led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Well, the next week, the pastor spoke about being a giver. And then the song leader gets up and he leads a song, "Jesus Paid It All." Well, then the next week, the pastor got up and started talking about not gossiping and watching your tongue. And then the song leader got up and led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." Well, finally, the pastor got so frustrated that he resigned. And he told the congregation, he said, "You know, Jesus led me here, and now Jesus is leading me away." After which the song leader then led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Well, you know what? We will all have opportunities to make people look bad, especially those that we're not getting well along with. And when we hear of rumors or things that we don't know for sure are true, it can be tempting to repeat them. And it's not really that we're a bad person. We're just repeating what we've heard. Or maybe we know something about a person that really is true. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they had a failure. And it's easy to justify telling it because we know it's the truth. But you know, there's a lot of things that are true that we don't need to tell. And we should always try to do our best never to talk about another person in an unflattering light. And so let's be honest. The folks who are the easiest to gossip about are the people whom our relationship has gotten sideways with. And wouldn't you know, once again, God's word gives us very specific instructions here. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And here's what it says there. It says, "Don't repay evil for evil." Well, good. What about our speech? It goes on. "Or insult for insult. On the contrary, repay evil with what? With blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." And then he goes on, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech." Now, there's quotes around that last part because Peter is actually quoting Psalm 34. And you think he's trying to make the point that if you would like to improve the quality of your life, stay away from gossip. You see, one of the benefits of steering clear of gossip is that it stops negativity from stewing both inside you and around you. I mean, spreading rumors or gossip may feel exciting to some people, but honestly, it's just mean. And whenever you allow yourself to indulge in that kind of behavior, it creates social and behavioral patterns for you that just are going to add more negativity and drama to your life. And that's why I think being better prepared for gossip would probably make it easier to avoid. Because I'm pretty sure that all of us here have been ambushed by gossip at some time. Either somebody dumps this on us or we say it before we actually should have ever said it. And that's why if we're going to deflate gossip in our life, it would be helpful if we had some kind of escape plan. And that's what I'd like to offer you right now. I want to talk about deflating gossip and what it's going to require. And it's going to require identifying several key factors, the first of which is simply to identify when you actually engage in it or have become the recipient of it. And over the last couple of weeks, we've given you lots of key points and understandings to be able to identify it. But I just want to say on the front side, simply having gossip on your radar, I mean, that's half the battle. Because it's been interesting to me the last few weeks as I've been studying about this, there's been several occasions over the last couple of weeks that I've actually had to put the brakes on information that I was just about to divulge about a person because I all of a sudden recognized it, said, "Oh, that actually would qualify as gossip." Now, I just want to say we can get maybe overly concerned about the things we're saying, and so I'd want to encourage you, don't be paranoid, But just be aware. Have it on your radar. And when it comes to other people sharing information with you, I want you to just please remember that those who talk to you about others are also very likely to talk to others about you. The second key factor that we would need to identify is why we're actually doing it. And so maybe explore some of the reasoning behind your need to share information with someone about another person. And often it's just because you're not feeling so good about yourself, and talking about the shortcomings of others can provide at least an artificial boost to your self-esteem. But the reality is that you will really never truly embrace or improve your self-worth by demeaning and diminishing the value of others. I think Leo Aikman got it correctly. He said, you can actually tell more about a person by what he says about others than you can by what others say about him. And that's why I would just want to encourage you right now, just make a commitment to neither condone or contribute to gossip or to condone it. In other words, what I'd really want to say is don't become a garbage collector. Because if people have garbage, they know where the people are that they can take it. And so gossip, regardless of whether the information is true or not, is destructive. It can be hurtful to others. And what I've discovered is that people figure out pretty quickly who they can take their garbage to. And Charles Spurgeon, who was a pastor a couple of centuries ago, said it so well. He just said, if there were no gratified hearers of ill reports, there would be an end to the trade of spreading them. And then the third key factor, and we're going to spend a little bit more time here, would be to identify what would be some appropriate clarifying questions to ask whenever gossip is encountered. And I'm just offering questions because questions in a conversation can be a little bit more disarming. And so, of course, there are questions for others, questions for when you experience the presentation of gossip. And if you can start to hear, hey, I think this might be headed toward gossip, you could just ask them, hey, before you share this information, am I part of the problem, part of the solution, or are maybe you seeking counsel? And if they need clarification, in other words, is this information something that you would like me to assist you with? And that would provide some insight for yourself and the other person on whether this information should be or shared or not. See, negative information about another person's life that you can't do anything yourself personally, that really isn't very helpful. And it simply adds to whatever other burdens that you're already carrying in your life. And is there anybody here who needs a few more burdens to carry in your life? I know I certainly don't. And so I recently heard about a person who was approached by someone who said to them, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? And by the way it was asked, they knew that it wasn't going to be good. And so they just smiled first. And then they said very politely, you know, no, I really didn't hear. And if it's not good, you know, I'd just rather not hear it. Another question you could ask would be, would you help me to understand why exactly you're telling me this? And if they need some clarification, you could explain, hey, I think sharing that information with me could be detrimental to my opinion of that person. And so if it is, I'm not really comfortable talking about that. Or that doesn't sound like something that I would want to discuss. And then if you want to take it a step further, you could ask them, hey, when do you plan to share this information with that other person? And this would be when what they're sharing with you is something that really needs to be talked over with that other person. But it really doesn't appear that they're going to have the courage to do that. And so if someone comes to you with information that appears to be gossip, or they're complaining about someone that they don't get along with, let them know, hey, I'm willing to help you organize your thoughts and work through what you might want to say to that other person directly. I'm willing to do that. But if it's just going to be talk, then let them know that you're not interested. And you could say something like this, hey, if your plan is to go sort out things with that person directly, I'd be happy to have a conversation with you to formulate what you would like to say. But you know, if the purpose of this conversation is simply to share negative information about them and not go address it, I think I'd really rather not talk about that. Now, those would be some questions for others. There's also some questions for yourself that you would need to ask internally when maybe you experience the temptation to gossip. And you know what? We all will. Maybe even later today, we're going to experience that temptation. And here's the question to ask yourself. Hey, would I share this information if that other person was in the room? And if you want to avoid gossip whenever you're speaking about others to someone, only say what you would be willing to share if that person were listening in on the conversation. And if you want to take it to another level, you can ask this question. What if Jesus was in the room? Would I be comfortable with that? And make no mistake, you know, whether you realize it or not, Jesus, he's actually fully aware of everything that you've ever said secretly about another person. I think Jesus says as much in Luke chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, what you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you've whispered in the ear in inner rooms, it will be proclaimed from the roofs. And part of the reason is God knows everything we say. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, verse 4, hey, before a word is on my tongue, God, you actually know it completely. Another question to ask yourself is, could this information cause someone to think negatively about this individual? I heard one person who shared this story that they experienced. And they said, you know, when I was in high school, my friends and I had a tough history teacher, whom I'll call Mr. Smith. Well, one day on the bus, as we rode back from a band competition, we were venting our latest grievance against him, sparing no mercy in detailing our dislike. And as we went on and on, finally the band director, who'd been sitting in front of us, finally turned around, and here's what he said. I sure don't want to know what you all say about me when I'm not there. And they confessed, shame kind of washed over them like a heat wave. They wanted to throw up, literally. See, gossip often colors a hearer's perspective in a way that it's not fair or unbiased because it's portraying that individual in a bad light. So sometimes we might need to think to ourselves, would I want someone to talk about me the way I'm talking about that person? And then finally, if you notice, there's three questions that I've kind of rolled into one, but you can kind of rapid fire work through those if you need to. And that would be just to ask, hey, is this kind? Is it necessary? And is it verifiable and completely, completely true? And these are really three filters that you can run what you're thinking about saying through before you say them. And if the answer is no, then most likely what you're about to say probably needs to be left unsaid. And the first one would be, is it kind? And most of us know what kindness is, but I recently heard Andy Stanley, a pastor, share what I thought was the most helpful definition of kindness I think I've ever heard. And here's what he said. He said, kindness is loaning someone your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. Kindness is loaning someone your strength rather than reminding them of their weakness. And often what we're sharing about others are their weaknesses. And it's rarely, if ever, helpful for building them up, which we're supposed to use with our conversation. And it's certainly not kind. And let's be honest, haven't all of us got some weaknesses in our life? Second one is it necessary? Now, when we get to this one, I got to be honest, there are times when it's proper to give others a heads up concerning another person. And we see that one time when the Apostle Paul was writing to his young apprentice, Timothy. And Timothy was going to be serving in Ephesus where Paul had been. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Paul writes to him and he says, hey, Alexander, calls him out by name, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord's going to repay him for what he's done. I don't have to do that. But you too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now, Paul, if you notice, he clearly calls Alexander out, but he didn't defame him in any way. He only shared his experience. He did me a great deal of harm, and he strongly opposed our message. And Timothy was going to likely face that same opposition. But honestly, again, this should only be done when someone really actually needs to know. Because all too often, we share that kind of information with people who really, they don't need that kind of warning. And then finally, is it verifiable and completely true? You know, sharing partially true information can sometimes be as damaging as actually telling a lie. And that's why in our conversations, we need to ask ourselves, do I really know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is really true? Or have I just been hearing this, you know, second or third or fourth handed? And what we discover is that people often exaggerate what they pass on to try to maybe make it a better story or make it more coherent, or maybe to justify why they're speaking about someone. And the problem that all of us have is that we can almost instantly write a narrative in our own mind off of a partial story that we've heard about someone else. And the problem is that there are most certainly parts of the story that we know absolutely nothing about. I mean, haven't all of us made judgment calls with only partial information, and it's in the absence of very important points of context? Well, those are some questions I'd encourage you to take with you and look over. And obviously, making the time and making the effort to ask those questions of ourselves and others is obviously going to require more work on the front side. But stick with it. And after frequent use, eventually, it will just become more automatic. And we just need to understand that the opportunities and the temptations to play in the dirt by gossiping, they're not going to go away. Which is why we need to make some heartfelt and mental preparation. And I'll be honest, my concern for myself is that since I've been focusing on this, on avoiding gossip, I'm probably more aware about it than I've been in a long time. It's on my radar. So I've already started to think, what's going to happen the next few weeks down the road? When I've moved on from a sermon topic, and I'm not giving it as much thought any longer. I just recognize I'm going to need to be able to have a reminder. And that's actually when I was reminded of a verse in the Bible that I really believe could be a gossip deflating prayer. And it's a prayer found in Psalm 19, verse 14. And I've decided I've got to make a copy of it and stick it on my mirror in the bathroom or on my desk or someplace where before I go out in the world, I can just offer this prayer to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What would happen if all of us, before we left our house each morning, would pray that kind of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think our world and the world probably become a little bit better place. Let's pray. Father, I just want to acknowledge this is going to be hard. It's hard because all too often gossip tastes good. It's pleasing to the ears. It can be pleasing to our mouths to say it. And so we're going to need your help. We're going to need your spirit. Again, making us aware. And so, God, I pray that that would really be our prayer, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing in your sight. Help us, God, to guard our lips, to guard the things we say, and to make this world a better place because we've chosen to speak truth and love and life to the people that are around us. And we ask and pray all of that today in Jesus' name. Amen.